You shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it.
So here we see God telling the Jewish people, if you see someone who's a heathen or who's your enemy, and their animal's in danger, bring it back to him. If it's trapped, help him. Help him untrap it. Help him get it unstuck. Help him. That's what it's saying. Now let's turn to Leviticus 19:18. Leviticus 19, verse 18.
You should not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the child of your people, but you shall love your neighbors as yourself. I am the Lord.
Now we see God telling them not to take vengeance into their own hands and to love their neighbor. So I'll turn to, go to verse 34, same chapter. And anyone want to read that?
I will.
Alright.
The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
So here we see God saying that a stranger in their land, or they're in the land of strangers, they're supposed to treat him as one who was one of their own. That's how God wanted them to treat them. But as we saw in the Jews' own literature, that they were treating him like garbage. They were neither going to cause them harm, but if they were if a non-Jew was gonna die, they wouldn't love their neighbor. They would just leave him. If their neighbor's ox or donkey was trapped in a well, they would leave it. And it's not my problem. But that's not how they were supposed to treat them. They were supposed to treat the strangers as one born among them, as one of their own. And so these are some of the things that God was teaching. Let's go to Deuteronomy 10:17. Who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. So here we see God saying, as we all know, he shows no partiality to anyone, whether the Jews, whether the Gentiles, no partiality. He judges righteously. Let's go to Romans 12:19.
Rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
All right. So when Paul's referring to these verses, vengeance is mine, I will repay. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. He's referring to the same Old Testament scriptures that Jesus is referring to. Because Paul and Jesus both knew that the Jewish people, they hated anyone who was a non-Jew. And so Jesus was having to correct their thinking when a non-Jew would persecute them or hurt them, that they were to love them back, because that's what he commanded them in the beginning, was to love their fellow Jews, and to also treat a stranger as one of your own. Love him the same. That's what Jesus was teaching. That's what Jesus was having to correct their thinking about. So, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Jesus was just correcting their thinking because they were not doing what they were supposed to do, what God told them to do, treat a stranger as one of their own, help an ox or a donkey that had fallen into a pit or gone astray from someone who wasn't Jewish. So the Jews were to love their fellow men and testify the truth of God for salvation of their souls. And we as Christians are to love people in general and strive to bring them to the truth. This is the teaching Jesus gives. Not that we are to allow a criminal intruder to molest our wife, our daughter, just because we are to love our enemies. This is foolish and proves the foolish extremes that men go to when they ignore solid Bible principles for interpreting Jesus' words. Now, can you love while defending yourself or keeping peace in order? Yeah, you can. You can still love an enemy. You can still keep peace and order. It's the same principle as a parent correcting their child. It's the same principle. They love their child, but yet they're having to correct their child because their child did something wrong. Or if a judge has a son, and his son becomes a criminal, he has to do what? Judge righteously, right? He has to do the same thing that he would do to any other criminal. He can't just let it slide because, oh, it's my son. No. He has to do the same thing. He has to judge how he's supposed to. He's not just going to let it slide. Now, let's look at some verses that actually talk about defending ourselves. Let's go to Nehemiah 4:14. Nehemiah 4:14. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So right there we see him rising up and telling the people, don't be afraid. The Lord is on our side. Let's fight for our houses, our neighbors, our wives, our children, our land. Now that's actually something that's talking about defending yourself against an enemy. Let's go to Luke 11, Or actually, let's stay in the Old Testament right now. Let's go to Exodus 22, 2 through 3. So Exodus 22, 2 through 3. We'll get to that passage in a minute. So, if the thief is found breaking in, and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. If the sun has risen on him, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. If he should make full restoration, if he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. So here we see an example of a thief breaking and entering, and the person strikes the thief, so he dies, and that person's not guilty of murder, not guilty of his blood. And so that's an example.